we got what it takes for the circle to break. Revolution lives in me.
Welcome to the Untamed and Unashamed podcast. I'm your host, Jade Bryce, and I am a certified love, intimacy, and relationship coach. I help women reconnect to their bodies and their pleasure, and I help men to become a safe space for that by becoming fully embodied leaders. The mission of this podcast is to expand our capacity in living untamed and unashamed. As we navigate life's ups and downs with all of the vulnerability, compassion, and openness that we can muster, and celebrating our bravery in all of it. Along with the help of guests from all walks of life, we'll discover new truths while doing some unlearning, and we'll gain valuable tools for becoming who we already are. So I invite you to open your heart and be untamed and unashamed. Our guest today is an expert in masculine leadership and the author of the groundbreaking book, The Masculine in Relationship, a blueprint for inspiring the trust, lust, and devotion of a strong woman. His work focuses on helping men embody leadership in their intimate relationships using a blend of mindfulness, psychology, and somatic awareness. He draws on his own journey of transformation and years of experience coaching men to become more grounded, conscious, and confident partners. He brings practical wisdom on navigating modern relationships, teaching men how to stand strong in their masculine essence while maintaining deep emotional connection. Today, we're diving into his insights on how men can step into their power while creating deeper, more fulfilling connections with their partners. Please help me welcome G.S. Youngblood to Untamed and Unashamed.
Jay, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
That was a hell of an intro.
Well, you know, it's funny because every guest tends to say that, but it's about y'all. So
you're a good writer. That's what I'll say.
Oh, thank you. Well, I came across your work maybe 4 years ago. I'm not sure when your book came out, how long ago it was, but
a little over four. Yeah. So you were early on.
Yeah. Well, I was in a relationship, at the time. It was two relationships ago. And that's how I came across your work, is I was really craving from that partner what it is that you teach. And so I bought him your book. And I ended up reading it too. But I think likely a lot of men who end up reading books like yours are probably reading them because their partner asked them to, or they were gifted from their partner, because a lot of times that's what I find, at least on men like you and Max and John Wineland. It's a lot of women in the comments, you know, and probably sharing your content with their partners.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's how I came across your work, actually, is desiring it from a partner.
Yeah, that's such a typical story. The women are craving levels of connection that a lot of men, I won't say they're not capable of, because I don't believe that's true. It's just they're not aware. And there's kind of a dismissive quality with a lot of guys, like, oh, that's just like emotional namby-pamby stuff. And what, you want me to become a girl? And there's sort of that instant write-off in their mind. And I just say to guys, look, I don't know about that, but here's what I know, is there's one path that works and one path that doesn't work. And, you know, the path that doesn't work means less connection, more irritability, more criticism, less sexuality in the space between the two, and lots of fights. And it's not masculine to be fighting with your woman all the time. Mm-hmm. It's really not. I mean, you can be the most masculine alpha dude ever, and if you're fighting with your woman all the time, you're disempowered. Mm-hmm. And so, it is the women that wake up first often, and they turn their guys onto it. And one of the things that a lot of women have reached out and said is thank you for writing this, because you gave me words to describe the longing that I had, but I didn't know how to put into words. I didn't know exactly what it was. And now I do. And I hear that a lot.
Yeah. It's, you know, your subtitle of the book is so important too, because like you said, a lot of men would, you know, think about being the masculine in relationship and maybe have a little bit of shame or insecurity or even intimidation, but that subtitle, A Blueprint for Inspiring the Trust, Lust, and Devotion of a Strong Woman, like, who doesn't want that, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is truly what happens when a man is that steadfast mountain energy. That is when your woman, like, feels safe enough to unleash her animal. She feels safe enough to dance in the kitchen sensually and be playful. I know that in relationships where that wasn't present, I was not the woman dancing in the kitchen or running to you at the door. Like it's, it creates a completely different dynamic. And I'm curious if maybe you can give some examples of, well, also I'll say really quickly to close off that, you know, I bought that book for someone. It was so interesting to see what he underlined later. Like when I went back to look at my notes, I mean, it's completely different, like things out to us, you know?
Yeah. But you can learn a lot about somebody by how they do underline a book.
I did.
You probably learned about him, what it was important to him.
I did. Yeah. So I was curious if maybe we can kick off with you talking about, you know, that example I just gave of that man that inspires that within a woman. And then, you know, what you talk about in your book, what does it actually look like in day-to-day life for a man to lead in relationship in a way that invokes those parts of her?
Yeah. My answer is almost, it's everything that we would talk about. And what I mean by that is that's the blueprint. So in the, I'll just say this for your listeners who may not have read the book, but in the book is organized around a blueprint. It's a three-part blueprint. And my contention is, hey guys, if you embody these three traits, you will be in your masculine leadership. You will be living from your masculine core. And so that is kind of my answer to your question is, and I'll give the speed version of what the blueprint is. If you're a man that is grounded, if you're a man that then leads in the relationship, brings leadership into the relationship, and we'll go into all this, but brings leadership into the relationship. And if you're a man that creates emotional safety and connection for your woman, number one, you will occur as masculine. And two, barring other factors, you're going to have a woman that's starting to open to you and starting to trust more and more. And every, you know, there'll be different speeds of that based on her own, you know, her own neurology and wounding and things like that. But you will be moving in the right direction towards that, that horizon of a more amazing relationship, a more connected relationship, a more sexy, juicy relationship, which is what all guys want. We want less criticism of us because it's hard for us to take that. And we want more openness and flowiness that you described in the proverbial dancing in the kitchen. So my answer is probably bigger than you were asking for, but it's like, yeah, live this blueprint. And I've kind of made it a little bit paint by numbers. It's not easy, but it's straightforward to understand what the target is here. You live that, you embody that, and you will have a better relationship.
Yeah. And the three-part blueprint, if I'm not mistaken, is respond versus react, provide structure, and create safety.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. It might at some point we need to go through each of those and do a deep dive.
Yeah. I'd love to do it now actually, about how these transform a relationship. I know in the respond versus react, I saw you say something on your Instagram about like going towards the fire. And I, I can say for me that, you know, the partnership I'm in now, has such a calm energy in this first part of the three-part blueprint. Mm-hmm. And what's happened is because that energy, that like mountain steadfast energy, doesn't activate my fight or flight, mm-hmm. or my freeze mode, what ends up happening is because my nervous system feels safe, I'm able to actually spot where I'm being a brat, or I can spot my pattern very quickly. Wow. Because I'm not in fight or flight and like worried about protecting myself. I'm actually, when you're not worried about protecting yourself, because the person's gonna, you know, you're worried that they're gonna leave or you're worried that they're gonna yell or whatever it is that tends to activate you, then you're able to be like, oh wow, I see where I'm playing a role. Yeah.
Yeah, we're almost jumping to the emotional safety part, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. And I want to comment on this.
Yeah,
when we're in our trauma, it compresses you, it turns you inward. And so there's no space. There's no space for you to actually witness yourself in the moment, you know, moment to moment of like, how am I being right now? And then when you feel safer, like you were describing, you've got a little more spaciousness. And from that spaciousness, you can do two things. One is you can choose how you want to be in this next moment. But before that, you can do the witnessing. Mm-hmm. And it's like you have like, oh my God, I'm being such a brat, aren't I, honey? You know, and you could see yourself in that moment. But when you're traumatized, you might as well be one of those cars at a junkyard. You know, they smash it down to like this big, mm-hmm. because there's just no space, and you're just going to play out the script, the trauma script, the wounding script that you've played out your whole life, which is probably what brought you to this partner that, you know, one is in partnership, because usually you end up with the person that highlights the places you need to grow anyway. Yeah. But yeah, that emotional safety is so important. And it's one of the big messages I'm trying to get across to guys, and the ways that they don't create emotional safety. They create, in fact, just the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can, I guess, since I jumped forward, we can come back to create safety, but maybe we can go back into respond versus react. And I know this is, they kind of, all three of these really go hand in hand.
They do. They interlock because they're interdependent. Yeah. Respond versus react. So this is the quality of a man that has a grounded nervous system. There's a certain level of stillness to him and what he embodies moment to moment. And he has that spaciousness that we talked about a minute ago. Mm-hmm. And from that, he's very choiceful. That's the thing that you notice. It's just like, he's not the guy that starts talking even before you finish saying what you're saying. You know, he takes in what other people say, and then he chooses how he wants to be, considers, and then he pauses and he chooses. And so that level of choicefulness is such a palpable quality that we can feel in another. It actually feels good because we feel like we matter to that person when they are slowed down and taking us in and not just stepping all over us and trying to speak their side of things. So the way to get there is, number one, is really come into a different relationship with your emotions. And, you know, it's pretty cliche, like, oh gosh, guys got to get more in touch with their emotions. And then men are dismissing that. What do you want me to become, a wuss? In the book, I talk about a more masculine style of relationship with your emotions, a more masculine style of expressing your emotions. And they're different. I mean, we both have emotions, men and women, the feminine and the masculine, we both have emotions. And we both feel them deeply. It's what we do with them from there that can often be very different. So that's respond versus react. Those are the qualities of man that really embodies that principle. And I'll pause there for a second.
Well, you brought up grounding and how in order to respond versus react, you need to have this grounded kind of stillness.
Yeah.
What are some tips or tools for men to stay grounded? And because it's almost easy to think of it prior, but in the challenging moment, what are some tips and tools for them to be grounded in the challenge?
Yeah. Well, anybody that's listened to anything I've spoken on, you know, I talk about embodiment practice all day long. Mm-hmm. And that was the topic of my second book, was embodiment practice. Mm-hmm. And so that's my answer to the question, is it's daily embodiment practice. It's training. You know, if you wanted to go out and run a marathon, you wouldn't just show up the day of the race. You would train for an extended period of time before that. It's the same thing here. You don't just show up to those moments of tension and conflict without your training. Otherwise, you're going to clearly fail. You have a daily practice. And so I've got my own practices. I've learned lots of practices from other people too, and tried to mesh those all together. And this is what I teach to guys. And so in my one-on-one coaching, we usually start out with 10 minutes of embodiment. I try to give them a new practice every session. In my group programs, we spend the first 2 weeks, you know, solely on embodiment. And then certainly at live workshops is when we can really do it, because we're in person. So daily practice, daily practice, daily practice.
Yeah. And so for someone who's hearing that and they're like, well, what does the practice look like? Is it really, because how would they bring themselves into the feeling of a challenging moment to know how to risk, you know what I mean?
Ask the question a different way.
Yeah. So, okay. So if I'm wanting to, I'll use my kids as an example. Like when they get in from school, they do not do well with transitions. Like there's something like when they get home from school, like they like to just take it out on each other, or like they're just cranky. Mm-hmm. And so I guess my way of practice is, 10 minutes before I pick them up, I get there early, I connect my breath, I'm not listening to music, I'm not on social media. Yeah. And I know that when we get home, I have a snack ready. and everyone does their own thing for like 30 minutes. That's like kind of how I've prepared.
Yep.
Can you kind of give an example of what a man would do for that when it comes to conflict with his partner?
Well, I won't speak of anything in the moment. We can handle that in the create safety, okay. But in the before the moment, I get up and every morning it's 20, 25 minutes of mm-hmm. daily practice right in my living room. And I do breathing exercises. I do some meditation. I do movement exercises, and that are all specifically designed to have a certain effect. And what that effect is, because I think I should explain when I say embodiment, what do I mean? Because some people mm-hmm. might not understand it.
Yeah.
Embodiment is really about, it's taking some of your awareness and like pulling it away from your thinking mind and putting it into the physicality of your body. And the more you train that, the more that awareness partially, that piece of awareness just kind of naturally rests there, even when you're not in practice. And so the reason you want to do this is because we all know our thinking mind gets us in a lot of trouble in relationship. You know, you come at me and you're upset and it feels unfair to me. So in my mind, I have this story that you're being a hellacious bitch. Like, and then I start operating as if that story is true. Mm-hmm. When in fact, you might actually just be genuinely hurt by something innocuous, but it touched a wound. And, you know, it's like, oh, my baby's hurting. But we don't see it like that. We see it like, I gotta protect myself. And she's being a hellacious bitch. So that's the thinking mind with its defensive strategies to protect us, protect our ego. Because if we can have a story about why you're wrong or bad, then I don't have to feel anxious about me being wrong or bad. Mm-hmm. If you take some of that attention through your training and put it on the body, then you start to rest more in this moment with what's actually happening. Because the physicality on which you have your attention only happens in the now. There's no, you can't experience that physical sensation in a thought path, you know, where it's future or past. You know, you only experience it now. Now you might carry on a memory of that sensation, but you experience it in the now. And that tends to pull you into the here, what's actually happening. And what's actually happening is, oh, my baby's hurting. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the most powerful things you can do to become more present. So that's what we're doing. So the exercises are intended to draw your attention down. And so, I mean, here's the easiest one. I'm going to oversimplify this, but everybody knows about breath work and okay, I'm going to breathe intentionally. And often most people are, while they're doing that, they're actually still in their head. Mm. They're in touch with the idea of breathing, but the physical sensation actually, if you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, for instance, so it's like the actual physical sensation of air rushing across your nostrils. And then on the exhale with maybe an Ujjayi breath, the actual physical sensation of it coming through their throat. Most people aren't actually in touch with that. They're in touch with the mental part. So even in something as simple as that, I'm coaching them to really stay in tune with the sensation of the breathing, not just the act of breathing. And again, this isn't oversimplified, but it's like one ingredient stylistically about when you make any you can make any practice more embodied by putting more attention on the sensation. Okay. I feel like I talked a lot there. So
No, and I love that you said like my baby's hurting, because what's made a big difference in this current part in this partnership that I'm in is when I communicate something to him that maybe in the past, in a past relationship would have caused a reaction or it would have created a problem. This partner sees it as instead a bid for connection. Mm, and it's probably also partly because I've grown in how I communicate it, for sure. But I feel so held because of that, because when I point out something and he's like, oh, she's looking to feel loved by me. She's looking for a bit of, for connection. And that may be going back into create safety again, but they go so well together.
You better move on to create safety.
I know. Well, before we jump into that, I know the second one was provide structure. And this is, I mean, my whole body like melts, even mm-hmm. just thinking of those two words, provide structure.
Yeah. This is the quality of a man that he brings more leadership into the relationship. Now I'm going to right off the bat, It's not he's the leader and everybody else is subservient. It's not that. He's just, he brings more leadership. And then the feminine partner can bring leadership in different ways too. So the art is, okay, what are the ways that I can lead? And I'm really the best suited one to lead in certain ways, because there might be things that she's more suited to lead in. So it's not an always on, always off. It's not a binary thing. It's not a, you know, power differential necessary. It's in the absolute, are you bringing leadership? And what I talk about a lot is with my clients is what are you doing in the logistical realm of your life? What leadership are you bringing in the emotional realm of your life? And what leadership are you bringing in the sexual realm of your life? And so we break it down into those three and go deep into those. And sometimes we do exercises around that. Other times there's more somatic practice that we want to bring. And that's what I want. I want men to bring more leadership in these domains into their relationship. And, you know, it starts with, you know, a natural question you would ask is like, okay, how does that guy do that? Well, it starts with, you got to have your own inner clarity. And that's what I think a lot of guys skip over. Their radar immediately goes out. And you know, in the nice guy syndrome that our society is currently suffering from, nice guys have their radar out and their eyes are really big, proverbially, because they're looking for the safe thing to do. So they're kind of scanning everybody else, looking for danger. Okay, if I act like this, then I'll be okay. And they have no radar internally of like, oh my gosh, what do I think is right? What do I need? What's not okay with me? So I'm helping guys to really turn some of that radar back in. Not all the radar, because we don't want to turn them into narcissists. That's not what we're after. But I'm out solving more of the nice guys of the world rather than the narcissists of the world. So these guys are indexing one way. We want to pull them back. So you get clarity, like, what do I want? What do I need? What are my boundaries? And then farther out, what do I think the moment calls for? What's my wisdom about what serves the greater good? And then you include attunement to your partner. And then you know her so well that you can already fold in her preferences, needs, and boundaries that you know, it's not always going to be perfect, but you know her well enough so that when you take all that inner clarity and then express it externally in the form of direction and structure, you're already have a much higher chance that she's going to look at you and go, okay, cool, I'll follow that lead. You know, because you've attuned to her over time and you know her and you folded that in advance rather than just like, you know, sort of narcissistically, what do I want to do? And let's do that. And she's like, that totally doesn't work for me. Why would you ever propose that? And, you know, I think all couples have been in that situation probably at least once in their life. So that's what leadership looks like in a man.
Yeah. And I love, there's a saying that I see often of the man leads in the physical realm and the woman leads in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. And I like how you said, like, we lead in different ways, but it does feel, when you think about the different gifts of a man and a woman, that feels mm-hmm. really good in my body when I hear it, that a man leads mm-hmm. in the physical and the woman leads in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And they're both so deeply needed together, you know, because if you only have more of one, if you're both only leading in the physical or you're both only leading mm-hmm. in the spiritual, then there's that, you know, lack of groundedness in either way. Mm-hmm. So we're finally at Create Safety.
Do this. Yeah. Create Safety. Yeah. This is one of the biggest ones. We already touched on this, but we'll just harken back to it. It's like a woman that feels emotionally safe, a woman that feels emotionally connected, it's going to blossom into the radiant being that you want her to be. And some guys don't even know what radiance is. Like a lot of guys, especially here in Silicon Valley, there's a lot of business dudes, you know, and you kind of choose your clone, somebody else that's maybe you meet her at work or something, and you're both in your masculine energy. And in my marriage, I think I really gravitated towards somebody that was very, very strong type A personality. And that was really sexy to me at the time. I was in business school, so I was kind of, you know, swimming in that. And it was only nothing. I'm not denigrating her in any way. But the partner that I'm with and have been for a long time, I've discovered how awesome it is to be nurtured. Mm-hmm. And I've also discovered in that relationship, the ways that my way of being evokes more nurturance that comes back at me. And so, guys, you, I'm telling you, you want to be with somebody that can nurture you in a certain way. It feels really good. And whatever that means, we don't need to define that here, but somehow, you know, kind of feeds more of your soul rather than, I don't know, functional needs in life and things like that. And so I always encourage guys to really look for that as a quality. But now tracking back to create safety, and the way to evoke that, like your way of being, guys, can evoke that in her when you create safety, emotional safety, and when you create emotional connection. And I think the next question you would naturally ask is like, okay, well, how do we describe emotional safety? Like, what does that look like? It's pretty simple. I mean, and it's crazy to say it like that because it never feels simple in the moment, but just you got to make space for what's coming back from your woman. And, you know, I try to tell guys, my view is, you know, the feminine beings in this world are feeling, you know, 2 to 5 times more than us. So anything that you feel, guys, she just feels it 2 to 5 times more intense. And that's sometimes hard to contain. And then it just kind of can spill forth sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it'll just spill out. And that's when she gets really upset with you and gets very emotional and things seem very intractable. And then when she comes at you, believe it or not, sort of very ironically, it's kind of a bid for, I wouldn't say connection, but it's a bid for you to help her carry the emotional load that she's feeling right now. That's too much for her. And part of that is just empathy, like being with somebody, accompanying them in their pain, is a beautiful way to create safety. It's a beautiful way to address emotional pain. Taking ownership, you know, she's going to be blaming you for stuff. And sometimes she blames you for this much. And then there's like a piece that's really true. If you can find that piece and own that, that ownership will really help her carry the emotional load, because she'll feel like you're taking ownership for something that you may be doing. So there's all kinds of ways of just making space for whatever comes your way from your woman. And it may not always be pleasant, and it may not always be fun, and she may be shaming you, and she may be blaming you sometimes. But if you can find a way to artfully make space for that, that doesn't mean agree with it. Like she throws a fireball out, you don't have to agree with it, but you can be there and stay open to it and feel the pain that's behind it. And that you might remember this, Jade, is a quote from the book, is hear the pain, not the blame. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for guys who want to be masterful magicians of relationship to be able to see over maybe the fireball that's coming at you to what's behind it. And sometimes it goes back to what we said before. It's like, my baby's in pain. And so I teach guys a lot how to reframe. I have a module in my online course about reframing, and I put it in quotes, crazy. Like what the guy would label as crazy, I'm trying to help them decode what's actually going on behind that. And when they understand that, they're much less apt to be like, okay, you're just being crazy, and then dismiss. Cause I think that's what guys do, is we call you crazy and then we dismiss your feelings. Mm-hmm. So I'm teaching them, guys, to sort of rewire how they perceive what they used to call crazy, and then how to operate with, you know, in a way that actually brings the activation down. So that's just one small piece of what it looks like to create safety.
Yeah. I know Max, in the Max Trombley episode, he said basically the ninja tool here is like asking just, where is she right? Even if it's only 5%, mm-hmm. like what's happening, like, where is she right? Yeah. And because ultimately, like if you can find that one place, then not only do you grow from finding where, you know, the validity of the complaint is, I suppose, but also then she feels seen and heard.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a, like, because you talked about nice guy syndrome. And I noticed that the guy who wrote the book about that,
Robert Glover. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a quote on the back of your book about how much he recommends your book. So I know, that y'all's work is very, you know, aligned. And when it comes to that nice guy syndrome, there's probably a part where it's like, well, if you keep doing this and the woman's not doing her work, or, you know, whatever it is, that you end up getting walked all over. But I think you say in your book, like, at least follow the blueprint for 6 months and see if there's a change, I think is.
Yeah. I get a lot of guys that come to me, and they're like, oh, this is just so horrible and intractable. I can't deal with this anymore. Should I leave? And then as we dig into it, it's like, well, your behavior is evoking a lot of this, my friend. And I think that's the thing that guys don't want to hear, but is a common message I give is like, look at the ways that you're evoking that behavior. I'll often say that if you take a woman who's a bad person, she's kind of crazy and she's really just hard to be around, and a woman that has not had her emotional needs met, they actually present similarly. Hmm. And so guys like to say, oh, she's bipolar, borderline, you know, like they want to, it's just her, but it's like, well, actually, that looks a lot like somebody who's not getting her emotional needs met. And then I talk to the women, because I'll do that in my one-on-one coaching. They can take one of their sessions and I'll talk to their partner.
Oh.
And then she's like, oh my God, let me, you know, how many hours do you have to hear me tell you all the thing? And then I start to see things that the guy doesn't even know about the ways that, you know, I have a client right now and they had a fight and she was always the one over their 20 years of marriage that kind of then came back to repair. And that this time she was just like, fuck it. I'm not doing that. It's been 9 weeks. They haven't had sex in 9 weeks. They've been cordial to each other and he still hasn't gotten it, but he needs to kind of go back and repair from that. Mm-hmm. So she's suffering and she's starting to shut down. And now I have no idea how I got on that point, but it's, I'll say we can evoke a lot of the behavior, whether it's good or bad, our way of being often evokes it in the feminine.
Yeah. And when I think too of like what makes me feel safe in a relationship, it sounds pretty like basic, but it's like, I can feel your integrity, but what makes me feel safe, like in conflict or like the good, the bad, all of it, is knowing that like you're unwavering, you're not going anywhere, you're in this and you've got me, you know? Yeah. And so,
when you're at your worst.
Yeah. All of it. And if I know that, then really what is there to fear? Knowing that like, we've got this, you've got me, like you're not going anywhere. It brings a different level of safety of, like conflict doesn't feel like such a big deal. You know what I mean?
I do. And I want to pause you for a second, Jade. I just like, when you said that, that really hit me. That was beautifully said. What did you say? When you know that, what is there to fear? And I want to just re-say it with like the gravity that it deserves. That was a beautiful, it's like men. Let's say this to all your male listeners, men, you know, what is there to fear? Why is it that you withdraw, you defend, you deny? What is there to fear? There is not anything to fear, really. So anyway, I had to stop you. That really impacted me. That was beautifully said.
I'm so excited to tell you guys about Paleo Valley's grass-fed bone broth. Bone broth has been hailed as a healing superfood for centuries. And what makes bone broth so amazing is its collagen content. After the age of 20, we begin producing less collagen every year. And as our production declines, our natural collagen and elastic fibers get looser, meaning fine lines and wrinkles, dry skin, deterioration of healthy joints, brittle hair and nails, and much more. But consuming supplemental collagen, such as in bone broth, can actually stimulate the body to make more of its own collagen. I choose Paleo Valley's bone broth because unlike most bone broths, theirs is not processed with high heat. It's not extracted with harmful chemicals. It's 100% grass-fed and finished from cows never given antibiotics, steroids, or hormones. And something that really sets them apart is that this product is made from bones, not hides. Most companies use the hides because it's cheaper. But when collagen is sourced from the animal's skin, we miss out on all of the extra nutrients and restorative benefits of the bones. The benefits are endless, but a few are that it eases arthritis symptoms and supports joint health, improves skin health and reduces the appearance of wrinkles. It increases hair growth, aids in blood sugar regulation, helps prevent heart disease, supports gut health, helps build muscle mass and boost metabolism, reduces the appearance of cellulite, and promotes better sleep. I had been searching for a long time for the most convenient and cost-effective bone broth without sacrificing quality because I knew I wanted it as a staple in my family's daily routine. Paleo Valley's bone broth not only makes it easy to serve to my children, but the flavor also makes it exciting for them. Protein in our diet makes all the difference in our moods in this home. And with my daughter being very picky when it comes to protein, this makes it so easy for me to make sure that she's getting enough of that each day. They have the unflavored, which mixes easily in anything, but I am obsessed with their vanilla and chocolate flavors, and so are my kids. I feel so great providing this for my family each morning as we start our day. Head over to paleovalley.com/jade for 15% off your first order. That's Paleo Valley, paleovalley.com/jade for 15% off your first order. I want to dive into command presence, and I know that it's not too far off what we've already discussed, but this is a part of the book that I don't remember so much. But you hear the word command presence, and to me, it just feels really juicy, you know? It's not, I'll just let you actually go into it, and then I'll pull on the threads.
Yeah, I'm super excited because in 2 weeks, I'm running a workshop on leading from the dark masculine, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'm bringing in 4 female coaches who are awesome, and they're going to work directly with the guys and then bringing more of their groundedness in the face of the fierce feminine. So it's really fun work to do, and I get to do it with really talented people. Command presence. I'm going to wrap in dark energy to that because it's so related. It's just, they're all kind of a continuum. Well,
that's the next topic that I have is dark energy, specifically in the bedroom, because that can have to do with the nice guy a little bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We'll talk specifically the piece of command presence. And this is like when I was in the military, we had to learn to march and to lead. So you had to lead your squadron. If you ever seen these guys on the parade ground, there's one guy who's commanding with his voice and it's just attention. And, you know, then they come to attention and so that it's that void, that quality of voice in military marching. If you could ever get a video clip of this, it's so powerful because it's so clear and commanding and it's not, you're not going to bring that voice into your relationship, but the energy behind it, that's what I want to point out. There's such an energy of clarity and this is not literal what I'm about to say, but you say it with the energy of you're going to do what the fuck I say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on guys, look, she's purring now. So just notice the impact of what we're talking about here. It has nothing to do with us. It's just like the notion. Uh-huh. That notion makes your women purr when you can really embody it in the right way, of course.
When you trust them. Yeah.
What's that?
And when you trust him, especially.
Yeah. I mean, we should say this, that anything we're talking about with command presence and dark energy, number one, there's a bubble of consent. Mm-hmm. So you don't just bust this out, you know, without the kind of some kind of consent or conversation.
And I want to add to that, and we can touch on it again when we talk about dark energy in the bedroom, but consent is always sexy, even 20 years in. Like, asking, even just the sentence, before entering her body, like asking permission in a very sexy way.
Yes.
Never gets old.
Yeah. It could be. I think you could do it verbally and non-verbally, and let's say in a 10-year relationship, and it could be, you know, are you ready for me to be inside of you? You know, you want me inside of you? Right. Or it could be, and it is, hopefully this is not too graphic, but men, as you enter her, you don't just jam it in.
Right.
You go in a half an inch and just say hello, and then you're with her. You see her. You're in eye contact with her. You feel her. Does her breath stop for a second, or does she deepen her breath? And then you go in another half an inch. And that's the kind of consent that can even be nonverbal because you're so attuned to her. And I think, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but attunement is the difference. This is, I said this on a podcast a couple of weeks ago. Attunement is the difference between healthy masculine leadership and misogyny and abuse and just assholish behavior. You know, attunement is the difference. When you're attuned to your woman, you don't do assholish things generally. You do a lot less of them.
Yeah. So. I always say, because I teach in love, sex, and relationships. And so I always say, like, if you can go slow enough to make it to where by the time you're entering her, she's basically begging for it, the sex will be completely different. But okay, so the part where I got all giggly was you're going to do what I'm going to say. Like that. Yeah. So we'll get back to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was speaking about the energy, and this is this is really what you have to start with. It's not like, what do I say or exactly how do I say it? Mm-hmm. You have to have rock solid clarity within you about what's happening next. And that clarity, we already talked about this before. You already know your woman pretty well. So you're already folding in what's going to keep her safe. You're not going to do something that you know makes her feel unsafe and closed, obviously. But it starts with that clarity. And so that's part of what we work on. It's the energetics of this, of getting like, no, this is what we're fucking doing. And again, you're not using those words. It's just the energy of that. I'm putting words to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what command presence is. It's knowing what I want. It's knowing, it's not what you want, but like what turns you on and what's in the realm of okay with you. And even you know where her edge is. Even if you take her to that edge, you're still very aware of where her edges are. Mm-hmm. And you're monitoring her in the moment. Like you're in your own pleasure, but your awareness is such that you've got some awareness on her and you're tracking her, because that's what's going to keep her safe in the bedroom. Because there are all kinds of bonks and ouches happen in the bedroom when you're tussling sexually. Mm-hmm. So you've got to really attune to that and keep an eye on that and track her. And that's going to help her feel safe. Mm-hmm. So that's what that command presence is. I call it directional energy. I'm trying to get this installed in the nervous system of my clients. It's a bias for action. It's a forward movement. It's a clarity of what's needed next. And all of that starts with the energetics of it. And then it comes out in the vocalization. And that's part of what we work on in the workshop and other places, is how do you vocalize your wants? And whether it's an expression, it's like, oh, okay, I want you tonight. You're mine tonight. You know, like it's a little bit of the erotic talk, or it's in action. If you're going to put her in a certain position, it's like you move her with resoluteness, but also very skillfully. Mm-hmm. And so that's what command presence is. We want the guys to walk in. It's not like a dom, but it is kind of in some ways a little bit of just a wee bit of the dom energy.
Yeah,
and that's command presence. And when you couple that, is the last thing I'll say, Jade. No, when you couple that with the light, which is the caring and the attunement and all those mm-hmm. things, keeping her safe, that's the unbeatable combination that I think most feminine beings want. They want that combination of dark and light.
Yeah. And I think a big part of where the light comes in is in the aftercare. So like you flood mm-hmm. it with the dark, and then you know that like at the aftercare, like you're going to feel that softness again. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm curious because there are times when, you know, a woman she can crave that command presence from her man with that dark energy in the bedroom. But she can feel from him when he's trying to do it, that he doesn't believe it himself. I've talked about this on the podcast plenty, so it won't, the podcast is called Untamed and Unashamed. So we're fine on this topic, but, you know, a big desire that I've had for the last couple of years is to experience, consensually, of course, like, being flogged by a partner, but it can't just be, and I've gone to like a demo of it from a well-known, woman here named Kimmy Inch. I've had her on the podcast. It can't just be like a partner gets a flogging stick and like, you know, like there has to be a certain embodiment that like is specific to what I'm craving, of like feeling almost like he's channeling God, you know, and I'm being like so put in my body. And I haven't experienced it yet. But the craving, like there's this feeling of power that I would need to feel from him, you know? Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't feel that power within himself, yeah, then the entire experience of the flogging is like basically, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So what would you say when it comes to a man wanting to give this in relationship, but doesn't feel like the belief in himself?
Yeah. Yeah. We have to go way, way back. And, you know, that's a guy that probably more than likely has got some childhood trauma. You know, if yeah. he just like at a deep core just doesn't believe in himself, that's deep. It goes way beyond the bedroom. And a guy like that, I push him into trauma therapy mm-hmm. to go, you know, they got to go back to the woodshed and really start to deal with what's underlying, rather than like, how can I be more powerful in the bedroom? It's like, mm-hmm. no, you gotta take care of the foundation before you go remodel the house.
Yeah. Otherwise you're just following a script, because you can hear it. It's almost yeah. like when they command you, there's a question mark at the end and stuff, you know, like they're almost still asking yeah. permission. Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. It's so right. It is that question mark. You can hear it in their voice. Yeah. And that's actually part of what we work on is the intonation and all that. So yeah, he's got to go and handle his insecurities and some of the childhood wounding. There's lots of trauma therapies, guys. You know, you can go and really handle these at a very base level. And here's the win. Sex gets better. Loving gets better. Romance gets better. Work gets better. Friendships get better. Social engagements get better. Everything gets better. Because what's happening here is there's a little wound down here and it gets flared up. And then here comes the anxiety. And then he's like, you know, okay, now I'm going to flog you. And it doesn't. Yes. And it's because it's that anxiety has him just completely shaky. And so, you know, he's got to go take care of that first. Then he's got to become a clean slate and really become what I call in my workshops, become an empty vessel. That's the first step. Get all that anxiety out of the way, as you know, at least as best you can. And then from that, what's your volition? What's your directionality? What does your command presence say is going to come next here? So that's what I say to guys like that. You got to go back to the woodshed and really handle that underlying wounding that's causing you to be so unsure of yourself in a way that your woman can palpably feel, particularly in the bedroom.
Yeah. I haven't visited this topic in a couple of years, maybe three. But I wonder sometimes if it goes into the Madonna whore complex, whether the woman has that split within herself, or if the man has that split within himself of like, I'm sure you're familiar with the idea of like, I think David Data talks about it. Like if you, like the man marries the Madonna, but fucks the whore basically, like he has that split within him where he can't merge the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it's the woman that has that split as well. You find that pattern.
To me, that's an unintegration of the dark and the light. He hasn't learned to embody them in the same sphere or domain. Yeah. And so he can be with the mother, you know, and the loving, and then he wants to, you know, like he brings the dark fucking to somebody else or somewhere else. Or so it's about integrating the dark and the light. And how do you, you know, in the same moment, but shift into the, you know, in and out of the dark with your woman in one lovemaking session. In one moment, you're very loving. And then the next you flip her over and spank her right on the ass.
Yeah.
You know, and, how do you bring both of those? So those guys need to learn how to integrate those two. And I've learned so much from David about that over the years, in the years that I studied with him. He was very seminal in me, even understanding like, what the hell is that? It was actually hard to do at first, to be honest. It was hard to do at first because it's like, oh, if I'm going to be loving and gentle, like, okay, I got to like put my animal to the side. And you don't. It's just you step in, one steps in, and the other steps in, and then one, and it becomes more fluid. And so it's possible. It is possible to integrate the two.
Yeah, I think maybe because we sometimes associate that darker part as disrespect. But if it's like you're saying, integrated, and you know that the aftercare is there as well, or the light is there as well, it brings a completely different dynamic. And I think I like that you, because I hadn't thought about that before, how it's the same as integrating the dark and light, because like my mentor gets on to me about, she can't stand when I say that term Madonna whore complex. She's like, no, why? Like, why would you want to, you know, feel like that? And, you know, she's in her 60s and I think we have different, you know, language and thoughts around those words, but it does make it a lot more like dark and light, if you were to use that instead, or, you know, on top with it, that actually makes a lot more sense. And we have this idea that like, we think of dark and we think of it as like something you want to shy, like stay away from, or something heavy, or something that could overtake you or overwhelm you. And it's completely different when, like you said, it's integrated, and when it's especially integrated with the light, like they really are actually the same thing at their root, you know?
You mean dark and light?
Yeah.
That's like, deep.
Like fear and love. Like they both actually want the same things at their root. They're just going about it in different ways.
Yeah. It's the, they can't exist without each other.
Right.
They're not the same, but they're linked so deeply with each other. Mm-hmm. The dark and the light. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and it applies in the bedroom as well, completely. So yeah, I love this. I love this topic. Let's see. My last question was going to be what the most common pattern or mistake you see men making in their relationships. I don't know if you feel like we've already covered that, but that was going to be the last one.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a clear winner, and it's defensiveness, and zooming out slightly on that, it's she's expressing a hurt and she just chronically does not feel heard. Day after day, after month, after year, he's no, it's not right. But, you know, like shields up. And then it's, you know, over time, she's just like, I guess I don't exist here. And then she just starts to wither on the vine and really check, you know, first she becomes, you know, very critical and irritable and, you know, hard to be around. And then the sexuality shuts down and then she just goes flat and flaccid. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's just no point in trying here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, not everybody does, but the natural extension of that is they leave, you know, and maybe they leave in place where they just exist in the relationship, but there's just nothing there. And so I hear that so much from women, and whether they're reaching out or it's the partners I'm talking to, I mean, just the pain that I feel from these women, oh my gosh, they're just like, they're beaten down. I don't mean literally, I mean emotionally beaten down, because they just feel like they'll never be heard. And that's like death, I think, to most feminine creatures, just like they'll never be felt for sure. And they'll never be even be heard. Yeah. It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch, but it is the most common dynamic that I see and is one of the most deadly.
Yeah. And when it comes to that, or just living up to your potential as a partner in a relationship, the blueprint that you've set out really is a blueprint for success. If a man can commit, I'm going to do this for 6 months, I'm going to watch what happens in my relationship. Like it truly is like the blueprint for success in that area. So thank you for creating it. All right. So there's a few short questions that I ask everyone who comes on the show. The first one is, if you could hug your younger self right now, what would you say?
Oh, if I could hug my younger self. I would say you're never alone. Mm. Never alone. I think I can tell you where that's coming from. Just after I got divorced, I was just like, it was hard. I hadn't found myself yet. And so I felt very alone for a while. And I realized I wasn't.
Mm. Beautiful. If you could have the whole world, really quick, it's interesting that it took you feeling alone to realize that. You know, it takes like feeling alone to realize we're not. It takes the heartbreak.
For me, it took catastrophe of a marriage ending to wake up and really head towards who I am today. So yeah, sometimes guys need to be smacked upside the head, sadly.
If you could have the whole world read one book, which would it be?
Oh God, that's such a loaded question.
You can
I'll rule out my own, but
you know. A lot of people choose their own on the show.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, 7 billion sales. That'd be great. Oh shoot. What book? David Hawkins, Letting Go. It is, I mean, this book is thick and it is the most highlighted book that I have on my bookshelf. The man is brilliant. He's not with us anymore, but he's brilliant. David Hawkins, Letting Go.
Thank you. All right. If you could whisper one phrase to everyone on the planet, what would it be?
It would be what we said earlier, what you said. What is there to be afraid of? What is there to be afraid of? Can I be a cheese ball for a second? I was listening to some Fleetwood Mac the other day. And I'm gonna do an Instagram.
Okay. Number one favorite band. I've seen them twice.
Oh gosh, I'm so jealous. And in the song Gypsy, you know, Stevie Nicks, like she can just belt it out. She's amazing. Of course, everybody knows that. And she says, she's belting it out. I'm just reciting it, but she's like, I have no fear. I have only love. And it's like, I get chills when I hear that. And it's like, just have no fear, have only love and just see what happens. See what happens. Your life will change. That's what I would say to everybody.
That's beautiful. I went to 18 schools growing up. And so I always said that song was my like theme song for life.
Oh, 18 schools.
Yeah. But and then I backpacked 30 countries by myself. Like it's kind of just been, you know, I'm a Sagittarius, so maybe that's part of it. But that song I've always said was a theme song for me. And to, you know, pull on that a little bit more too, it's like when you know, when you're not afraid of the fear, that sounds weird, but when you're not afraid of the fear, because you know that you can hold it with love, anything that comes up, you can hold it with love and you can have a dialogue. My best friend, Tom Shadyac, wrote a book called Life's Operating Manual. And the book is basically a dialogue between fear and truth. Mm-hmm. And when you let them actually speak, truth always wins. Mm. Not that it's a battle, but it only wins because it allows fear to speak. Because if you don't allow fear to speak, it's only going to get louder. You can't really ever get rid of your fear, right? But you know that you can hold it with love. And if you know that no matter what happens, whatever comes up, whatever divorce, loss, whatever it is, if you know that you can still hold yourself with love, then truly what is there to fear? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
So true. Yeah. All right. Let's go whisper that to everybody.
All right. Lastly, how can people connect with you and your work? Maybe your website, your Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. Website's gsyoungblood.com. Instagram is at gsyoungbloodmir, which is the masculine in relationship. Mm-hmm. And you can see all kinds of things. You can go on YouTube and search for me and lots of videos on Instagram and YouTube. And if I can just do shameless plugs, I just filled the Dark Energy Workshop. So, but our next one is in, the end of January, Sayuli to Mexico. We're actually allowing you to bring your partner.
Wow.
We're going to have 2 days with the women together and 2 days with the men together. And the third day we come together and do the polarity. It's going to be amazing. So check out the website for that. I'll post the dates within probably before you post this. And then my boot camp is my online program, 12 weeks. I take you through a process with 10 to 12 men. And, it's been amazing. I love doing it. And the guys seem to love it as well. So that one starts in January. So you can get signed up for that right now.
Beautiful. I love the one. Is it Mexico or New Mexico? You said
Mexico. It's a beach town just about an hour outside of Puerto Vallarta. And it's amazing. I love going there. Sayulita.
Well, I'll talk to my partner about it. That sounds awesome.
We would love to have you. We'd love to have you. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Again, the blueprint that you have, put out really in every topic that we've discussed really is like a blueprint for success. And so you've made it also very simple. It's three things. We've also made it to where, like I said, with that subtitle, it's very enticing. You don't make it intimidating. And so really, really thankful for your work. And
Thank you, Jay. That was a fun conversation. I appreciate the questions.
All right, you guys, we covered a lot of ground in under an hour. I'm really thankful. And this felt really well-rounded. I'd love to hear your feedback. Whether you send me an Instagram message or, leave a review, I would love to hear your feedback on this episode, especially because it's so in line with a lot of the things that I'm passionate about when it comes to working with clients, specifically men. When I've worked with male clients in the past, something that has been, I think, of most benefit to them is I've taught them how to communicate in a way that helps a woman to feel safe. And with my female clients, I help them to open up to safety in their body so that they can actually receive that safety from their men. But a lot of times men just don't realize how much of a difference words mean. Like I remember talking to a girlfriend about how just a simple tweak of a man saying we instead of you or I, like just that habit of saying we, it brings so much more safety and security to a woman when you're communicating things to her, because it's clear that you see us as a team. It's not, you need to do this, or I feel this way. It's we need a new strategy. We need to work on this. We're going to do this. And so little things like that, it makes such a big difference. And I hadn't thought about what he was, said how he meets with the female client once to really hear from her on what he can work with the male about. That's genius, I think. I'm going to think about how to offer that to both male and female clients in the future. All right. You can go to my website, jade-bryce.com, to sign up for my newsletter, Pleasure Ponderings, to sign up for any one-on-one coaching. My women's program has already begun, Untamed and Unashamed. I believe since this airs 11/11, we're already on week two. But I will run that again next year. So if you sign up for my newsletter, you will find out when that will be run again. And then I get all my supplements, guys, at paleovalley.com/jade, my whey, my bone broth, my meal bars, my meat organ pills, my fish oil, literally everything except for my sleep supplements. If you use that, paleovalley.com/jade, you will get a discount. And the great way to do it with them is subscriptions. You save so much money when you do a subscription. You can cancel at any time or change your quantity at any time. And then, so I mentioned organ pills, but actually I love the taste of organs. I know that's weird. So if you don't love the taste, you can do the organ pills. They're nature's multivitamin, basically. However, if you like the taste of organ, or if you want to try out a different way, because better jerky, it's so juicy. It doesn't taste gamey. It doesn't taste like organs. It's delicious. The way that they've spiced it with organic spices and everything about it. It's, to me, I love it. My body craves it, especially when I'm in my late luteal. It feels very nourishing to me. My children love it. You're getting like 12 grams of protein in each jerky stick. It's whole organ jerky, grass fed and grass finished with organic spices. You're getting all that protein with your organ meats, and your body, see how your body feels. You'll love it. All right. So I mentioned that the sleep supplements are the only thing I don't get from Paleo Valley. I get it from Bioptimizers. I've been using their magnesium for 7 years. I won't go without it. I've also just started using their Sleep Breakthrough because it's got GABA in it, which is really, it helps with, all types of things like depression in your luteal or anxiety. It helps with a lot, and it definitely deepens your sleep. I still will do my magnesium breakthrough because it's once you try it and you realize the quality of sleep you get when you have a really high quality magnesium supplement, you just won't want to go without it again. And most of us are already deficient in magnesium. So it's needed whether you realize it or not, whether you realize it through your sleep or not. All right. And then Pleasure Wands and Yoni Eggs. I get all of those at Wands, WAANDS.com. I love the cervical wand. I love the Indian jade wand. And I love my yoni egg. These are miracle tools. They strengthen your pelvic floor. They make it to where you have better orgasms. They even tone your face. There's so many benefits to these. They're also beautiful altar items. Code Jade gets you a discount there. Oh, code Jade also gets you a discount at Bioptimizers and Better Jerky. And then higher dose infrared products, code JADE75 gets you $75 off. I use their face mask, their sauna blanket, the bio energy mat. I freaking love. It's got crystal therapy, PEMF therapy. And then I also have my dry sauna from Saunafin in the garage. Me and my partner are in there with our Russian felt hats on at least 3 times a week. And my body just loves the sauna, you guys. When you look up dry sauna benefits, I mean, the list is endless. When it comes to lengthening your lifespan, when it comes to preventing dementia, when it comes to even your physique, like all of it, the benefits are endless. So that's Saunafin. And I could not love my sauna more. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and being on this journey with me. It would mean so much if you'd leave a review or share an episode with a friend. You can also join me on Instagram at Untamed and Unashamed Podcast. As always, be a light, stay open, and remember, you belong here.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.